Thank you, Sam. Good morning. Yes. July 21st, right? 21st. I'm trying to keep up because it always seems like the days, and especially my summer with all the nice warmth, go quickly. Excuse me. I broke my straw out shorter than usual. I don't know about you, but I remember one day I received some sound advice, and you know, and I said, "Oh yeah, you know, drive slow and steady on icy roads." And you know, Californian knows that well. So you know, so we're just driving one day on icy, snowy roads, and the sound advice, you know, it's good and sound until I felt like, oh, things are fine. I can push a little bit more on the pedal so I can get there a little bit quicker. You know the hell that is. And then before I knew it, I was doing a car dance in the middle of the road. Have you ever done a car dance before? And you know, it's nice going back and forth. It's like a cha-cha, I think, or something like that. And then I found myself on the side of, end of ditch on the road. And praise the Lord that the ditch wasn't very deep, so I was able to eventually get out and get back on the road and kind of go, whew. Like that, all right? So we sound, you know, I don't know if you ever seen the movie Forrest Gump before, but there's a saying there, stupid is as stupid does. Well, foolishness is as foolishness does. Sound advice was given and was not followed. Sound instruction was provided and foolishness prevailed. And that's one thing that we have to deal with in our lives, because we were talking about this morning, our human nature, we tend to want just to take matters in our own hands. And and that's just what we have to do. Now, there's one old adage, if you want to say, we hear often, or in Bible you even see it too, it says, what you reap, you will sow. And a lot of time, you know, that could be taken in a positive way, but a lot of times it's for a negative result, right? Something that, you know, you get what you deserve kind of thing, you know? Hey, you sowed it, and now you reap it, you know? So you're thinking, yeah, there you go. So it's more of a curse in that way. And we have to deal with that curse. And then we look at the foolishness. And what's the opposite of foolishness? Well, it's called wisdom. And wisdom, people kind of go, well, what is it? Well, we're not wise enough to understand what wisdom is sometimes, it seems like. But, I looked it up. I was going, well, what is a good explanation of wisdom? And I found out, you know, a lot of times we get understanding and knowledge mixed up in wisdom, and they're a part of it and stuff like that too. But I found this says, wisdom is different than knowledge in this way. Knowledge might understand that a traffic light has turned red, okay? Do you see it? You're driving. Knowledge, there it is, red light, you know, for Cam. He's colorblind, so he has to go with whatever's the top light, you know, right? It's on, so there it is. That's knowledge. Wisdom is when you apply the brakes, all right? Knowledge is there. But it doesn't mean you're going to stop until wisdom is applied and you go, oh, I should stop because I'm following really the law. And not only that, but I'm following the law of love because I'm taking care of others. And I'm also loving God because I'm not going to test them, right? Showing that love both ways. So that's kind of, that's a good way I thought about that. And I think about, you know, for us with foolishness and wisdom, then we come back to that, you know, old adage then, why is there such a fight? Because it seems so easy to do, you know? It's just common sense. Apply the brake. Listen to those good instructions. Drive steady and you don't have to do no car dances. You know, you don't end up on the side in a ditch of the road there, you know? And that old adage of comes back and that curse of you reap what you sow. That curse. And my question is how can we break that curse? And today, I think we'll find that in this passage, and I hope that the Lord will reveal that to us as well as we continue on in that. Let's pray, and I want to pray for that too. So, Father God, yes, first of all, Lord, I know my heart is for you, Lord, and I know there's hurting people in our congregation, and especially, Lord, we think about Erica and her family, for Max and all those. Lord, I just lift them up into your care and ask that as they mourn the loss of their loved one, her mother, Lord, that they will find a time to support and encourage one another, but also to celebrate her life, because she is one of your own, and she is with you right now. And Lord, so I pray that they'll take that hope as well, and that hope will bring healing in there as well, and that your Holy Spirit will minister to them and strengthen them and provide them that wonderful comfort that only you can, Lord, to be their strength and to help them walk and go forward by faith, Lord. And if there's anybody in our family that does not know you, Lord, we just pray that they will encounter the living Christ and that their hearts would be turned to you as well in this time. So we just thank you, Lord, that you're in all of our situations, even in these situations about our lives and how we want to live them, Lord. Are we going to live foolishly, or are we going to live with wisdom? And what does that look like, Lord? And how can we break that curse of what we reap and is what we sow? Lord, so what we sow is what we reap, and Lord, that is so true. Lord, you are so good. And we just pray that your word will go forth and that your spirit will move amongst us, opening our hearts to be able to grasp what you have for us, that your word will come alive in us today. So we can not only just receive it, but we can live it so others can see you. Bless this time. May you receive all the honor and glory in it. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen. Well, you know, just before this in chapter 27, we were seeing David kind of foolishly kind of losing his way with the Lord. And he's in a sticky situation, right? We leave off, and now the scene changes on to Saul. And we find out that Saul's even in a stickier situation than what David was, because it begins very auspiciously. Look at this. You know, when you look at that, and there in 28, I think, is that right? And it says there, it says, now Samuel was dead. Well, Samuel, remember, he was a judge. He was a leader of the country, a judge. He was also a prophet, and he was also a priest. And he lost that. That was his only godly influence in his life. And not that he saw him for many years. I don't know how many years, you know, they did not speak. It might have been more than 10 years or so, or I don't know. But he's been dead for quite a while as well. And so, and now situations are coming up here that he's missing Samuel's influence. See, he did start to follow the law that God gave Moses about, you know, not having any mediums or spiritists in your country, because really there's only one good source of power, and that is God. If you're going anywhere else, you're looking for another source, and it is not of God. So if you ever find yourself looking for help and you're going for other sources, know that it will not be of God, that you will put yourself under bondage of Satan. I've seen that in Thailand quite often. But for Saul, he's shaken now, because now here comes that Philistine army, and it's looking pretty bad. there's something, I think, going on in him. He's knowing that, I think my time is up. I think there's something stirring in him. You know, God's speaking to him in a way that he can't really understand or really hear, but I think he can sense that. And so now in his desperation, you know, he's starting to act what we'd say like a beast. He's going into beast mode, because in Proverbs it says this, Proverbs 49:20 says, people who have wealth but lack understanding are like beasts that perish. Well, Saul certainly has wealth. He's a king, and he's certainly lacking understanding. And he's acting like a beast, instinctively. Fight or flight and boom, take care of yourself, do whatever you can. Leave matters in your own hands and do it. You know, that's where he's at. So he instinctively is looking for help because his pride and his self-reliance has led him down a slippery slope. A slippery slope that is godless. And he knows that. But now he finally remembers, oh, I got to seek the Lord. I got to seek the Lord. Well, because why? Because he can't hear him. He has no prophet to speak to him. Or if he does, God's not speaking to that prophet. The Urim doesn't work because he has no priest. Because what did he do with the priests? He killed them all. He's a murderer. Oh. And his inquiring, and even in dreams, God is not even speaking to him. So he's getting the silent treatment. Have you ever gotten the silent treatment for anybody? You know, you did something to them and they just kind of go like, and you're talking to them, they're just kind of going, I don't know you. I don't hear you. You don't exist. Right? That's about what it is. So God does, I believe he gives a silent treatment to show us something. But if we don't understand that, then we feel like God is just rejecting us fully. Now, he rejected Saul's kingship, but he didn't reject Saul. See, he's always after the heart of man. He loves us, every single one of us. And he's always there for us. But Saul doesn't understand that because now he's in that beast mode. And he's just all about himself. And so we look at this and we say, well, then another question is why is God silent? Why would God turn silent on Saul? Well, in James 3:17, there is a reason why. Here, let me get that for you. So chapter 3 of James there, if I can find it. And here we are, 17, it says this. It says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Well, for us, that's a good thing because what you know we can see that God is desiring something. What is he desiring here? For us to be able to hear from him, be in his presence, we need to actually be people who love him, right? Who are open to receive what he has for them. And Saul certainly isn't doing that, is he? He isn't communicating with God. He isn't walking with him. In fact, if you've really looked at his life, he is a murderer. He's a liar. He's a hypocrite. And that's just a few things. He is going down the other path, and God will not come close to somebody whose heart. He will not speak directly to somebody whose heart has not been repentant before him. As we were talking earlier this morning, you know, we need to come to a spot and know that, hey, but if you believe in Jesus Christ or as your Lord and Savior or walking with him, there's a point in your life that you have admitted and understood that you are really a sinner. If you haven't done that, then maybe you need to rethink that. Because he desires us to get real with him and to come and really put that to give that to him, and then he'll work out his righteousness through Christ and the work of the cross that he did for us. That is all sufficient for everybody who believes. And that faith is a gift, right? And that's what he desires. So he desires a closeness. And here in Proverbs 14:16 says this, the wise fear the Lord and shun evil. See, there's a difference between foolishness and wisdom. Now we're starting to see it because of Saul's life, his beast mode has got him into a foolish path, and he cannot receive this instruction of the Lord, and he cannot shun evil. He is a very violent and hot-tempered man, very much for himself. And it says, the wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. And I tell you, if that doesn't have Saul written all over it, none does. Saul's in trouble. Yeah, I'm picking on you, Saul. I'm picking on myself because I have Saul. Ooh, ouch. Ooh. You know, I don't know about you. There's a lot of pins and needles going on. You know, so you know, all that. It's interesting now when you look at Saul. See, when he realizes that he is in big trouble, you know, he sought the Lord. He couldn't get an answer from the Lord. So now he's going to look for answers from hell. So he's not receiving answers from heaven. So he says, well, don't get it there. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go to hell. And I'm going to get it from there. Because now they're going into spiritists. And really, spiritists work with demonic entities. Satan's realm. So Saul's foolishness is leading him down an even more dangerous path. His instincts, and he's trying to bully his way through it. And even when he meets Saul, as we read this, listening to Sam read it for us here, you know, he's going, well, Saul, it's almost like Saul's saying to Samuel, help me, do what I need you to do for me. You know, get me out of this situation. And Samuel's going, you foolish person, you. Because in Proverbs 1, I just want to read this because, you know, Proverbs is all over this because we're talking about foolishness and wisdom, right? If you ever haven't gotten that yet, but this is what we're really talking about, the difference and how we can walk in wisdom, with wisdom rather than foolishness, even though our nature wants us to be foolish because we want to be like Saul. It's so natural to be like Saul. Here in the first part of Proverbs here, 1:28, it says this, then they will call to answer, and this is wisdom actually speaking, so God, all right? Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Oh my, how clear. And if it wasn't clear for Saul, it should be clear for us. He's there for us. His word is speaking. The fruit of foolishness of Saul is being displayed as he is seeking answers even from Satan himself. Saul's foolishness is going to be rewarded, but it's not going to be pretty. And I think he knows that. And then the wise rebuke comes because God, you know what? God is not satisfied to let us go into hell. He sent his son, his one and only precious son, to come and help us, to rescue us. He loves us, no doubt about it. He even allowed him to die in our place. So the love factor isn't in question. It's just our response. See, Saul's walking down the foolish path. He's been doing this for years. But God isn't saying, I'm not listening, you're done. No, God is after him, and this rebuke, he allows Samuel to come up. This is God's power. He allows Samuel to come up and speak to this man because he still desires his heart. And he's given him another chance to respond to him. And so when you look at this part of this response from Samuel, you know, before that, there in 15, you know, Saul's going, he's all self-pity, you know, everybody gets that way. And I am in great distress, Saul said. The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me either by prophet or by dreams, so I have called on you to tell me what to do. See, he's trying to bully his way through the beastly instincts. Tell me. There's no humility in this. There's no, not that I see. And then Samuel gives a response. Why do you consult me now that the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? So when you know the Lord is your enemy, what are you going to do, Saul? Saul, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, John? When you're running, doing the car dance in the middle of the road, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will deliver both. Oh, here we go. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. Boom. I don't know about you. If I was Saul, I'd be going, oh, this is totally against everything that I was going for. I've taken matters. I've been walking down this own path that I have my own agenda. And now look what mess I've got myself into. Tomorrow, I'm going where Samuel is. Well, I don't know. And so are my sons. Who are supposed to, I wanted them to continue on my legacy. Boom. The man is hit. And so his response, so how is he going to respond? Well, of course he's going to get down on his knees and repent and just, Lord, I am a sinner. Help me. But sorry to say, I don't see it. I don't see it. Do you? Oh, he went flat on the ground, totally helpless, hopelessness at the maximum level. He's on the ground on his face. Oh, yeah, he's in a good spot. Oh, he's there. Come on, Saul. Come on. Open your heart and get real. You see, listen to this. This is the king of Nineveh in the day of Jonah. See, the judgment is coming. Jonah finally got out of the whale and speaking the word of God to him, a little judgment there. And this is the king of Nineveh. He's not a godly man. After hearing that message, though, he says, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Oh, now they become believers. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. That should be the very words of Saul. Help me! Repent! You're my God! Forgive me. And I guarantee you, God would have lifted, erased all of his sin. Now, the consequences are still there. But the heart, where is his heart? In this respect, these Ninevites, they gave their hearts to this awesome God they didn't even know before. And there was repentance. And God did not take out their city. In that generation, I believe lived in a godly manner. There must have been tons of repentance, tons of things going on there. Or it might have been people just faking, trying to fake that they did it. I don't, you know, we're good at that too. But God knows. He knows the heart. We can't fool him. But we see Saul on the ground, and what are they doing next? They're talking about food. There's no repentance. There's no crying out to God. Now they're talking about food. And Alistair Begg gave, you know, he quoted this. He says, this is a meal fit for a king, for a man who is not fit to be king. And even more incredible, at the end, it says, but Saul chose this foolish response instead of repentance. That same night, they got up and left. Well, now it starts directing my eyes and my heart to a passage in John 13:30. And it says this, as soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. No repentance. And it was night. I don't know where Saul is now. I don't know if he's with the Lord or not. I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. He's in huge trouble. He's in huge trouble. So how do we overcome this foolishness then? Because if we saw as a person, a human being like you and me, then now we got to learn from Saul. Because this, remember, this whole book here, like Dusty says, it's a manual for us to read and to learn from. Something happens, we get to read it and start helping us out. Well, what is the Lord teaching us through Saul? Well, I'll tell you something. Isaiah had it in chapter 55. He says this. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he is near, right? He's there. Call upon him. You know, don't play these games. Stop walking in a foolish way. And when I'm talking about a foolish way, now I'm starting to equate it with anything that I'm trying to do in my own strength and power, in my own agenda, by my own knowledge. See, you go back to Proverbs 3, 5, 6 again, don't you? Boy, have you ever read the book of Proverbs? Maybe we need to do that. It gives some pretty sound advice, doesn't it? Love the Lord with all your heart, right? Trust him with all your heart. Yeah. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him, submit to him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. Well, Saul's path is not straight. It's going right down into hell. See, he's receiving the reward of a fool, right? The fool's reward. But there's another reward for a fool. What is that? Well, another way of looking at wisdom is this. Simply put, wisdom is the ability to see life from God's perspective and responding accordingly. So when you are hearing these words and you're going to be with me, Samuel saying that to you, you're going to be with me and so are your sons, and you're flat on your face, well, that's a time, if you're really being in right, you're going to be repenting. You're going to be pouring out your heart before a holy God and just say, hey, help me, save me, forgive me. Forgive me. And how do we receive wisdom, you say? Well, in Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we need to revere him. We need a place, you know, he's got to be the highest priority of our lives. And from that highest priority of our lives, his life, his love, his truth, his hope, everything just overflows in our whole, all of our life. Every area of our lives gets taken over. It's a good thing. And another thing, he says, well, another way you get it is by, if you lack wisdom, what? You should ask God. Ask God for wisdom. Did you know you can ask God for wisdom? Boy, I've been asking more and more. A lot of times I want to do it on my own. Yeah, I'm taking it in my own hands. I don't need wisdom. I got her here. I'm a Saul. I got this. No, he says ask. Ask, because he says you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. So there has to be belief. And I said, you know what I really liked about that part? It says, he gives it. He says, God gives generously to all without finding fault. So even though we are Sauls at times, we're all over, and we're just walking in a foolish, sinful path. He just moves that aside. He erases that. God is willing to give wisdom to those who ask, regardless of our past mistakes. He's not going, oh, John, you did that. No, you can't. I don't give you wisdom because you did this and that and that. No. God doesn't work that way. He's the one that gives the wisdom. We must ask for it. And that wisdom is what it says here in Proverbs 16. It says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. It is precious. It is so valuable. And when you really think about it, wisdom is the only way that curse of you reap what you sow can be broken. Did you know that? See, the fool's reward, there's another fool's reward. You know what the other fool's reward is? It's this: Jesus Christ. See, to many, it's just mentioning his name is foolishness. Teaching the word is like foolishness. You know, to hear it, and it's like foolishness to them. But for those who are being saved, it is what? It's the power of God. See, here in 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, at the end of it, pretty much, 30:31, it says this, and this is from the NLT translation. It says, God has united you with Christ Jesus. Did you know that? When you finally repented and you gave your life to him, you're with Christ Jesus. We're united with him. He's in us, we are in him. For our benefit, God made him, Christ, to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scripture says, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. So that wisdom's breaking that curse. Now a fool like me, who I was a fool, and sometimes I still am foolish, I have a reward beyond my imagination, which is in Christ alone. Not because I have earned it, not because I fell on my face, but because of what he did on the cross through his son. For us, it is his work that has broken the curse. It's his work that has given a foolish person like me the greatest reward in the history of mankind. And so do you, if you've received Christ. So, there's that passage there in Matthew 7:7 says, ask, seek, and knock. Yes. Ask. Get with the Lord. When you feel like you're starting, things are going around and things tough, we need to ask. Don't leave him out of it. Ask him. Spend time and talk with him. Get real with him. Seek him with an open heart. And you put aside our own pride and our own agendas. And knock. Just keep knocking until he opens the door, and he will. When we ask for wisdom, he will give it generously. And he already did. Christ is our wisdom. God's plan is that wise plan unto the salvation of man. Every man and woman in this planet Earth and throughout history through Christ alone. That's it. That's that wisdom. And we need it. So ask for it. And then we can ask for it, and it'll help us in our daily walk, to walk in freedom in Christ and also to be a witness and show others this wonderful Christ as well, to help them receive a fool's reward other than you reap what you sow. So get out of your beast mode. Get out of it. Get out of your beast mode. Get out of it. Get out of your beast mode before you find yourself on the side of the road. Go on, what happened? I didn't listen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word and what we're learning here. So important. So important for us to apply wisdom in our lives, to apply the brakes. To confess our sins, to stop acting like beasts who are just by going by instinct, and just to come before you and to seek you and to ask and to knock and to hear your voice and to humble ourselves and to follow you and knowing that you have every good thing for us. How rich we are in you. Remind us of that so we don't have to walk down a foolish pathway, but that we can walk in your light and be a light unto others to help others get out of that darkness so they don't have to reap that fool's reward without Christ. We don't want people going down Saul's path. Lord God, help us. Help us to learn this lesson well. To apply wisdom in our lives by asking and seeking and knocking. Allow you into our lives to be a blessing to others as we have been blessed. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, and all of his people say,